This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today on the program, we're speaking with Dr. Walt Karnisky, MD, a developmental pediatrician trained at Boston Children's Hospital. He was director of the Division of Developmental Pediatrics at the University of South Florida in Tampa, Florida for 15 years. He then opened a private practice and for 20 years evaluated and treated children with ADHD, autism, anxiety, learning disabilities, and other developmental difficulties. Over the 40 years he has been practicing, Dr. Karnisky has evaluated and treated close to 10,000 children, conducted numerous studies of brain activity in children, and has been director of a child abuse program and a program for enhancing development in children born prematurely. Dr. Karnisky approaches each child as a unique individual with distinctive strengths and weaknesses where the diagnosis does not matter as much as understanding the specific needs of that child. And his new book is ADHD Medication, Does It Work and Is It Safe? And Dr. Karnisky, really appreciate your joining us here today on the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Eric. Thanks for having me today.
And of course, the pleasure is all ours. Really do appreciate your time and an honor to have you with us. So many people have suggested that ADHD is a fabricated diagnosis invented by doctors and pharmaceutical companies to sell more drugs, or invented by schools that can't teach, or by parents who can't parent. How do you respond to those kind of allegations?
Well, Eric, there's actually three lines of evidence that what you just stated is not true, that ADHD is a true medical condition and something that affects 7 to 8% of the children in the United States and has a profound impact on those children's lives. The three lines of evidence to support that are first, every year there are published approximately 350 studies, research studies, on the medications used to treat ADHD. Now, some of those studies are intricate studies of the pharmacology of the medication, but more than half those 350 studies are looking at the behavioral outcomes of using these medications versus the side effects. And those studies almost always universally show that ADHD medication helps when the diagnosis is clear and that the side effects are relatively easily manageable. The second line of evidence is what if you look at what happens long-term if children are not treated with medication. So the first line of evidence shows this, that medication is effective in children have ADHD. But the second line of evidence says what happens to children with ADHD when they grow up, if they were treated or not treated. So if the children were not treated, what we find is that as adults, they're much more likely to be in a car accident. They're two to six times more likely to have been in a car accident. If the damage is done to the car, it's usually twice the amount of damage, indicating a more serious activity. Adults with ADHD are more likely to smoke early, to drink more. Performance on jobs is a problem as well. People that have ADHD but are not treated with medication will have multiple jobs, more jobs than somebody who doesn't have ADHD. They're more likely to get lower performance ratings. They're more likely to have financial difficulties, less likely to have good friends, and so on and so on and so on. And the striking thing about all of this research is that when you look at these children now as adults, if they took medication as children, the difference between that group and the adults who do not have ADHD vanishes. In other words, they're just as likely to be in a car accident if they were treated with medication as somebody who doesn't have ADHD. So the effect is astounding, really, in terms of lifestyle and life benefits. The children with ADHD that are treated with medication and then become adults are happier, more social, more involved and more successful in life. There's one final line of evidence that shows that ADHD medications are effective, and that is a scan studies or neurologic scan studies like an MRI. These studies have shown that if you scan children and the brains of children who have ADHD, that they have three areas of the brain that are smaller than in people who do not have ADHD. But that's not the most striking finding. What they've also found is if they bring that group of children back 10 to 15 years later, rescan them as adults, and if they were not treated with medication, those three areas of the brain are still shrunken and still not as developed as they would be in a child without ADHD. But if they took medication, those three areas of the brain are now normal-sized. That's an incredible finding and only something that we've learned about in the last 5 to 7 years. But to be able to actually reverse some of the underlying neurologic processes. So that's a pretty, so three methods that indicate the medication is effective and the diagnosis is accurate. The first is the research studies on core behaviors. The second is the long-term outcome. And the third is the changes in brain scan activity that those children that were on medication and then scanned as adults have those three areas of the brain that look average in size compared to other people. So I'll leave it with that.
By that response right there, that shows us why we brought you on. Really some thorough coverage and some great information shared here today and per that question. Now, I have another question for you. Who should one see when they do detect that their child has ADHD? What's the approach there?
Well, Eric, I think it partially depends on where they're getting their information that has initiated their first concern. So what I mean by that is if the concern has come from observing the child's behavior at home, then they should start with their pediatrician. If, on the other hand, if the concern has been initiated by the teacher or the school psychologist or somebody at the school, then I would recommend doing a psychological evaluation first and then discussing the results with your pediatrician. The pediatrician is a good place to start because even though he or she may not be an expert in ADHD, he or she is in the best position to refer the children to the appropriate areas. In addition, it's important to rule out non-ADHD causes before you pursue medication treatment or other avenues of evaluation. So, for instance, children with a hearing loss or a very subtle seizure disorder can be having ADHD symptoms, and you have to first verify you're not dealing with one of those conditions. Once that's done, then most of the evaluation is done by a school psychologist or educational psychologist who then tests the child for ability to focus and concentrate, ability to stay on task, ability to remember things, all of those areas that would be affected by ADHD.
Now, here's a loaded question for you. What actually causes ADHD? Is it too much time on their phones, not enough sleep, poor diet? What's the cause there?
Well, the cause is neurological, and as indicated by that third line of studies that I mentioned and the changes in the brain scans. However, let me back up a little bit and present a scenario to you. Imagine that it's 100,000 years ago, and you're a caveman. Your job, you're part of a tribe of 30 individuals that live in this cave, and your job every morning is to go out and pick berries off a bush. So one morning, you're bent over that bush picking berries, and you suddenly hear a rustling in the bushes behind you. What should you do, Eric?
Well, I'd say you go look and see what's going on with real, real caution.
Exactly. So if some people respond that you should run. Well, if every time the wind blows and it rustles the bushes and you run back to the cave, you're not going to get those berries picked. And the tribe's going to be upset that they didn't have breakfast. And they're going to kick you out of the tribe. You're not going to mate with anybody in the tribe. You're not going to have children. And you're not going to carry that distractibility gene to the next generation. If, on the other hand, you turn and look and see that it's the wind, you can go back to picking the berries. Or if that rustling in the bushes behind you was a saber-toothed tiger, you can fight the saber-toothed tiger and still get back to the cave, still father your children, and carry that distractibility gene to the next generation. So some people believe that ADHD, myself included, that ADHD is really not a disorder at all, or a medical disorder. It is a difference in the neurology, and 100,000 years ago would have actually kept us alive, made us more successful and better cavemen. So what's happened different is that 150 years ago, we suddenly decided that every child should learn to read and should go to school. And not all those children were in a position to learn in a school setting where you have to keep your feet on the floor, your hands folded, and not move out of your chair. So ADHD really is a mismatch between a child's personality and development and the society in which he lives and the demands that society places on him. So if a child's having difficulty focusing and attending in school, he could have been a leader of his tribe 100,000 years ago, but now he's labeled with ADHD. So I have a choice as a physician dealing with that child. Invent a time machine and send that child back 100,000 years ago and he'll be successful. But I haven't been very successful in developing time travel. So the second option is that after considering all the facts, what I could do is change the way the educational system in the United States functions. So if every child is taught individualistically to their own strengths and weaknesses, then each child might be successful even without medical treatment. The third possibility is medication, and that doesn't seem fair. The children who don't have an abnormality should be treated with medication. But in the same way, it's like treating somebody who has an allergy, who has been mismatched to their environment because now they're allergic to something in their environment. And so medication is needed, even though there's nothing wrong with the individual. So that's the way I view ADHD. It is a neurologic difference. There is a difference in those areas of the brain, but I hesitate to call it a disease because at one point in time, 100,000 years ago, it kept us alive.
Dr. Karniski, really do appreciate all the insight and information shared so far. I thank you so much today. We're speaking with Dr. Walt Karniski, MD, a developmental pediatrician trained at Boston Children's Hospital. And over the 40 years he's been practicing, Dr. Karniski approaches each child as a unique individual with distinctive strengths and weaknesses, where the diagnosis does not matter as much as understanding the specific needs of that child. His new book is ADHD Medication. Does it work and is it safe? And he's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Children's Health and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio network. Now, continuing on, Dr. Karniski, you imply that medication should be used in almost all cases of ADHD. Shouldn't counseling or behavioral management strategies be used first? And instead of medication, couldn't ADHD be treated with changes in diet? What's your thought there?
Okay, first, the major educational organizations such as the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Child Psychiatry and Adolescent Psychiatry, most of these sources recommend that behavioral counseling be tried first before medication. However, my concern about that, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I do have some concerns about that recommendation, and that is that if a child is not on medication and has clear-cut ADHD, then that child is not going to be very focused, not attentive, and as a result, may not respond to the educational or behavioral or psychological interventions because they're not attending to them. So one of the things that we've found is you start with behavioral management. You find out that doesn't change and the child doesn't seem to be able to control his or her behavior. You start them on medication, then you go back to the behavioral management and you find that then works almost miraculously. So yes, I do believe that behavior management and behavioral counseling is recommended, but I don't always believe that it should be done prior to starting medication.
Certainly do appreciate your feedback there. Most helpful. Now, do children actually outgrow ADHD, and do they outgrow their need for medication?
No, they don't. I one time had a 73-year-old woman come to see me. She said that she'd been having difficulties her entire life with focusing and attending. She'd been reading about ADHD and wanted to know if she had it. Well, we ran all the tests, and she indeed had ADHD. And we then asked her if she wanted to consider treatment, and she said, no, I'm 73 years old. I'm retired now. I'm happy with my life. I think the point here is that ADHD does not go away. And the research studies show that 60% of children diagnosed with ADHD continue to have difficulties as adults. And the other 40% who are not having as much difficulty may have found a niche for their inattention. So, for instance, if your job is to work on an assembly line and pick out pieces of that are going by that are not perfect, you might not do very well with ADHD. But if you have ADHD, you might be much more outgoing. You might be a better salesperson. You might be better organized in that kind of sphere. So children do not outgrow ADHD, but they can adapt to it. And they, if they marry somebody who's deals with the details of life, if they have a good executive secretary that handles the details, then they may not need a diagnosis or treatment of their ADHD at all. But in those cases, it should be at least considered.
Lastly, Dr. Karniski, with so many different medications available, how does a doctor actually choose which medication is right for a child? Let's wrap things up with that here today.
That's a great question, Eric. There are, how many medications would you guess that there are that have been approved by the FDA for the treatment of ADHD? Do you have any idea?
It would be a wild guess, but I would say at least 10, if not more.
Okay, try 46. There's 46 medications that have been approved by the FDA for the treatment of ADHD. Let's deal with 36 of those that are called the stimulant medications. Really, the only medications that are in that group of 36 medications, there's only two specific chemical substances in those medications: methylphenidate, which we find in Ritalin, Concerta, and many other medications, and then amphetamine, which we find in medications like Adderall and Vyvanse, and again, many other medications. So what has happened is the pharmaceutical companies have taken these two simple medications, methylphenidate and amphetamine, and produced them in a variety of different ways. Some occur in an oral solution, an orally dissolving tablet. Some occur in a liquid solution. Some occur in a skin patch. Some are short acting. Some are medium acting. Some are long acting. So each one of these pharmaceutical companies have taken these two chemical substances and produced 36 different medications. But remember, we're still only dealing with the two original medications, and they're almost identical in their effect and their chemical appearance. So the way that a physician decides which medication they're going to use is, first, they have to decide on an amphetamine versus methylphenidate. Well, that's pretty easy because methylphenidate has been found to be equally effective to amphetamine but has less side effects. So generally, starting with a methylphenidate medication, like Ritalin, like Concerta, like Daytrona, like many of these other medications, is the way to go. If, however, a child develops significant side effects, then you might try the other medication. Again, you might also try a short-acting versus a long-acting versus a skin patch. So there's a number of different options. If your child is young, he or she is more likely going to need a chewable tablet or a liquid. If the child is older, a longer-acting medication for a college student, for instance, is going to be a better choice because they might have a class at 8 o'clock in the morning and they might study till midnight as well. So there's a number of different choices, and the drug companies have made the job easier for us by putting together multiple different presentations of medication for different uses and for that individual child's strengths and weaknesses in that child's lifestyle.
Dr. Karnisky, really do appreciate your visit with us here today. Solid information, and I'm sure listeners do appreciate it as well. If listeners wanted to get more information on your book as well as yourself, where's the best place to do so?
Well, the book is really the culmination of the 40 years that I've been practicing developmental pediatrics. I started out in my late 20s. Most rewarding aspects of working with ADHD children is that the response to medication is oftentimes so dramatic and so quick. Sometimes within days, you can see incredible positive results. And that's all the reward that I need in life, is to be able to see that kind of response, to see a child's life changed, to see their self-esteem blossom on medication. That's extremely rewarding.
And speaking of rewarding, it was rewarding to have you with us here today. And we, again, thank you for all you do in the space. Again, folks, for more details, simply visit ADHDmedicationbook.com. Dr. Karnisky, all the best. And hopefully we can have you back on in the future right here on the ELF Radio. Thanks so much.
I very much enjoyed it. Thank you.
Anytime. We've been speaking with Dr. Walt Karnisky, MD, a developmental pediatrician trained at Boston Children's Hospital. Over the 40 years he's been practicing, Dr. Karnisky approaches each child as a unique individual with distinctive strengths and weaknesses, where the diagnosis does not matter as much as understanding the specific needs of that child. His new book is ADHD Medication: Does It Work and Is It Safe? And for all the details, once again, visit ADHDmedicationbook.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the ELF Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more ELF Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at ELFRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.